He eats only a little portion of the food thus purchased, and he goes to hell for those for whom he earned the money in such an irregular way. Report. There's a Bengali proverb, quote, "The person for whom I have stolen accuses me of being a thief. The family members for whom an attached person acts in so many criminal ways are never satisfied. In whom an attached person serves such family members, and by serving them he is destined to enter the hellish condition of life. For example, a thief steals something to maintain his family and is caught and imprisoned." Curiously, Prabhupada writes, "This is the sum and substance of material existence and attachment to material society, friendship, and love." It's certainly possible, but not common in someone in the commercial world is like Mara Juice or Papel, impeccably ethical. But the emphasis is not in being impeccably ethical, as opposed to other words. The emphasis is the blurred, bewildered state of mind and power of discrimination comes when one becomes godless and attached. Godless and attached. There's this brief mention in the previous report about living with what is becoming grahastha, not a grihavini. But so this is the grihavini anatomy. And there's a tendency, and where there's a tendency, lots of people go there. This become start making compromises and further compromises. And out of attachment, making ridiculous compromises for the sake of maintaining the sense of happiness through material attachment. This is the sum and substance of material existence and attachment to material society, friendship, and love. Although an attached family man is always engaged in getting money by hook or by crook for the maintenance of his family, he cannot enjoy more than he could consume even without such criminal activities. A man who eats 8 ounces of foodstuffs may have to maintain a big family and earn money by any means to support that family, but he himself cannot earn more than what he needs. And sometimes he eats the remnants that are left after his family members are fed. Even by earning money by unfair means, he cannot enjoy life himself. That's kind of like the essence here. That is called covering illusion of Maya. Remember there were those 2 terms, avaranatmika and prakshepatmika. Thus he has been further covered and further covered. More attached and more distracted from higher purpose of life, and more covered and more covered. Paragraph. The process of illusory service to society, country, and community is exactly the same everywhere. Semicolon. The same principle is applicable even to a national leaders. A national leader who is very great in serving his country is sometimes killed by his countrymen because of irregular service. In other words, one cannot satisfy his dependents by the solicitor service. Although one cannot get out of the service because servant is his constitutional position. A living entity is constitution part and parcel of the Supreme Being, but forgets that he has to render service to the Supreme Being. and diverts his attention to serving others. This is called maya. By serving others, he falsely thinks that he is the master. The head of the family thinks of himself as the master of the family, or the leader of the nation thinks of himself as the master of the nation, whereas actually he is serving. And by serving maya, he is gradually going to hell. Therefore, the same man should come to the point of Krishna consciousness and engage in service of the Supreme Lord, applying his whole life, all his will, his intelligence, and his full power of speaking. I mentioned this yesterday, but it's worth repeating. If one doesn't have the understanding of bhakti, then it sounds like, or one might conclude, or that the conditioned behavior would be become a Mahayana sannyasi, meaning karma sannyas. Bhagavad Gita does not advocate karma sannyas. Karma sannyas is, there's all these problems with involved in the matter, let me just give it up. And it could be a philosophy or a way of life or what well-wishing parents are afraid of, that their dependent children will become sannyasis and just give up any involvement in worldly life. It's not unique to the culture of India, although it's very pronounced in the culture of India, thanks to Shankaracharya, whose teaching was that if you want to make spiritual progress, you have to give up family life. If you can't give up family life, you won't make any spiritual progress. And that's that starting point, karma sannyas. So even if people give up falsely or martyrta vairagya, avrupa vairagya, artificial renunciation, if they just give up their involvement in the world, it's artificial. Neither does the inside have that quality or capacity, nor is it even natural for embodied souls to pretend they don't have a body. So we have a body, which means impulses born of modes of material nature, and bhakti process is to recognize them and engage them in suitable ways. That's the theistic conduct portion of life and devotion, and while doing so, internally cultivate bhakti. And as Krishna says, performing prescribed duties and always think of me. So the "and always think of me" is the ruling principle even of how you perform prescribed duties, how you navigate your way in the world around you, is to augment or facilitate the remembrance of Krishna, including family life and whatever else may be a consideration. That which is conducive to always remembering Krishna and never forgetting Krishna. That's the governing principle of bhakti. Become attached to Krishna. And as one becomes attached to Krishna, like the discussion yesterday of tendency to be with the personal, when there's an uncomfortable situation, conflict situation with interpersonal dealings. Instead of going there, building the wall, distancing oneself, detaching it in that way, becoming more attached to Krishna. What's the message from Krishna? What's the lesson from Krishna? How do I act
in a way that's favorable to Krishna and serving Krishna in this way. And same with family life. Unfortunately, spiritual culture is very poor in the age of Kali, in modern time. And so the notion sounds nice, and applying it is not so easy, because we're spiritually weak and the atmosphere is not favorable. And us and them are in a poor condition, spiritually poor condition. It doesn't change the principle, it just means we're in a deficit. We can't just like rewrite the Krishna's plan for us because we have this position of deficit. We work with what we have according to our capacity, and we strive. Stay under the shelter of Krishna and act in the proper way. And now, just two verses which I know. Again and again to improve himself, but when he's dappled in all attempts to ruin him, he accepts money from others because of excessive greed. Next 12. Thus the unfortunate man, unsuccessful in maintaining his family members, is bereft of all beauty. He always thinks of his failure, grieving very deeply. Jnana, he's grieving. Swasati, he sighs. Mudha, he's bewildered. Seeing him unable to support them, his wife, and others, do not treat him with the same respect as before, even as miserly farmers do not accord the same treatment to their old and worn-out oxen. Report. Not only in the present age, but from time immemorial, no one has liked an old man was unable to earn in the family. Even in the modern age, in some communities or states, the old men are given poison so that they will die as soon as possible. And he must be referring to something, some contemporary article describing that. In some cannibalistic communities, the old grandfather sportingly killed and feast himself in which his body is eaten. The example is given that a farmer is not like an old bull who has ceased to work. Similarly, when an attached person in family life becomes old and is unable to earn, he is no longer liked by his wife, sons, daughters, and other kinsmen, and he is consequently neglected, what to speak of not being given respect. It is judicious, therefore, to give up family attachment before one attains old age and take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should employ himself in the Lord's service so that the Supreme Lord can take charge of him and he will not be neglected by the so-called kinsmen. Of course, that's prescriptions appropriate not just for old age people. If one takes that standard, even at whatever stage of life, that's the proper position of Krishna conscious position, whether it's Krishna conscious student life or Krishna conscious family life, the Krishna conscious retirement life. There are six limbs of surrender. One of those six limbs is Gopritve Maranam Teva, which is understanding that Krishna is my maintainer. So supposing I'm a working person, and because I'm working, I went to school, I got an education, now I have a job, and I'm working, and I'm earning. So the materialistic paradigm is, I'm maintaining myself, and then in turn, my loved ones, my family members, etc. And not only that, I'm pious, giving charity, and to other people who don't have so much. I am the thought of self at the center, self-centered life as I am doing all these things. So if not, that to become spiritual, you don't get an education, and you don't get a career, and you don't have a family, and you don't earn money, and you don't do those things. Rather, this Krishna conscious picture or perspective is that Krishna is my maintainer. While I'm small, my mother and father are maintaining me. Where is the ability for my mother and father to maintain me come from? Ultimately, it comes from the Supreme Maintainer. And now I'm mature, of age, and I have some career, and I have some earnings. Who is my maintainer? Well, Krishna is my maintainer. That didn't change. How is it that Krishna is your maintainer? If you didn't work, is Krishna going to maintain you? The notion for a devotee is, my occupation is my service to Krishna. And if Krishna chooses, he can maintain me. If Krishna doesn't choose, I'm not maintained. Krishna is my maintainer. I'm serving Krishna, and Krishna is my maintainer. So that's something that needs to be trained, ideally, from childhood. The way that Prabhupada explained this, actually he didn't add the extra part. He explained it in for young boys. The Vedic system is when they became 5 years of age, they were placed in the ashram of a teacher, that's Guru Bula. And there were character traits that were trained from childhood that were meant to be engaged in adult life. One of those character traits is, when I work, everything I receive goes to God. So it was trained in childhood this way. The boys in school would, some part of the day, or some part of the week, or whatever, they would go into the homes of others, door to door, and collect alms on behalf of the teacher. Which is very nice, imagine. You're living in great culture, and there's a little boy, or a couple of little boys that have come to your door with their cloth outstretched, saying, some alms from my teacher, please. So everyone's going to give some alms from the teacher. And what is the training for the boy is, whatever he receives, he gives to the teacher. And then the teacher gives to his wife so she can prepare a meal for the boys. And the meal is offered to Krishna. And then the teacher calls the boys back on the meal. The Prabhupada would say this 98% of the time. The next part was, and if the teacher neglects to call the boys to the meal, they will fast. And sometimes in bed, they will not protest. Saying, wait a minute, I gathered those things and you're neglecting us. But at least he would say that they would not say that. They would fast. And then when the teacher called them, then they would come and take the meal. So the protest, hey, I gathered these things, where's our meal? Is the fruitive idea. Like, if I work very hard, I should have my maintenance. That the training from childhood was boy would understand whatever it is that I receive is the property of my teacher. I am being maintained by my teacher, although it's my word. Everything belongs to my teacher. So when that little boy becomes an adult and he's learning, everything belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. And he submits everything to God. And then he's maintained by God. That principle grows. And another very important principle, probably repeated over and over, was the boy is taught to see all women as mother. So if you're a boy and he's going from door to door, and here's a woman, here's a woman, he didn't have a sense of male, female, or man, woman attraction, because he's, this is mother, and this is mother, and this is mother, and this is mother, and everyone is mother. So that when he becomes adult, he sees like that. This is mother, and this is mother. And so, except for wife, they're all embodied souls in a female body, their mother, and that means they're to be respected, as opposed to a potential object for sense enjoyment. It's just culture. In the absence of culture, then you get craziness. You get all this adventure of activity program where people are very attached to the possessions that come from their work, that's fruit of activity. And then the adverse consequences follow that. If one doesn't receive that training in childhood, then it's a little difficult. That if possible, it's a little difficult to retrain someone to understand everything belongs to Krishna. And I may maintain my Krishna. And then when there's highs and there's lows, there's ups and there's downs, material life moves like that. Sometimes things are going nicely, sometimes things are going horribly. And so when things are going horribly, the attached person, this section is discussing, someone may take to unclean means to burn a livelihood, to maintain their dependence and their attachment and their status and their so as they go down here, it keeps going down and down. If they're, as you described here, they're unsuccessful. And then those very persons who they were maintaining turn against them, and they turn against themselves, all in this failure. Etc. We can go the other direction, you know. I was a success. What's the happiness in I was a success if it's godless? All of that, as mentioned, in a flash is going to be taken. Well, what's the success? I built a sandcastle by the side of the sea, and the tide comes in. The sandcastle was gone. Now it's sad that the sandcastle was gone. Or in my dream, it can be either way. Something very wonderful happened and then I woke up, and something horrible happened and it wasn't even, didn't even exist. So the encouragement is as the last section, that's the sentence in verse 13. One should employ himself in the Lord's service so that the Supreme Lord can take charge of him and he will not be neglected by his so-called kingdom. Give up on detachment before one attains old age and take shelter of the personality of God. Take shelter of personal identity. The first is gospel age. Any discussion?
Maharaj, I was thinking of like how Srila Prabhupada tried over and over and over again before ISKCON was successful. And
you're saying Prabhupada is saying these things over and over again?
No, so he tried. He tried over and over again in India.
He tried over and over again in India.
And I was thinking, how does an aspiring devotee come to that stage of trying over and over again for the spiritual master without
getting discouraged?
Yeah.
How can we do the same without getting discouraged? Well, he was attached in a transcendental way. He was attached to Bhakti Siddhanta, understanding what his stature was, what his mission was, what his intention was, and wanting to be in his service. He tried over and over again. You know, step back a few, not even 10 giant steps, just a few steps, and there was another plan for Srila Prabhupada. The other plan was to go to the West, but he tried in India again and again because it was convenient. It was right there. And to go to the West, he didn't have a visa, didn't have the funds for transport. He could just, it was outside of his reach. And so he did what was within his reach, but it didn't happen again and again. So one can understand if the endeavor is what is pleasing, whether the result comes or not, and there may be another plan, and let's see what that other plan is. Let me consider it. Is there something else that... So, but just, he remained, how he could continue indefinitely was by being attached to the personality of and the mission of and the intention of his spiritual master. He understood those things very well. And that was how he was serving them. He said even when he came to America that first year where nothing happened, I knew that even if nothing happens, I'm pleased with my spiritual master. My spiritual master is pleased by my endeavor. Then he gave this other metaphor. If you go hunting for a rhinoceros, you may come back without a rhinoceros. But at least one can say, well, I tried hunting for a rhinoceros. So similarly, going to the West was even a greater challenge than trying to do something in India. But if he came back empty-handed, not only would it be shameless, it would be noble and glorious, but he knew he was pleasing the spiritual master because that's what he wanted. He was just doing what he wanted. And that's the happiness. That's how you can keep going on. The happiness of pleasing the one who you're wanting your happiness to. To make that endeavor, it was uncomfortable. He had a spiritually speaking, a room at the Radhadama temple. You step out of your room and you're in front of deities. It's a small room, but how auspicious. He could have just stayed there, lived his life that way. You know, that would have been spiritually sublime. No inconvenience. I mean, not the kind of inconvenience that he experienced. Suffering several heart attacks here and there through crossing the ocean, and you know, difficulties in the cold weather, and so many things that he had to endure. The sacrifice was easy compared to the ease of staying in those nice rooms and running out of the temple. Service and love. And so that's how it's possible.
Desires.
About which?
Desires.
Okay.
Like, if we want to follow a path, desire something great.
Yeah.
So.
What to do? Simple answer is follow the process of Krishna consciousness. But what does that mean for specific to designers? Those start with a foundation of daily devotional practice, sadhana bhakti. Start with that. What to do about those desires? Start with that. Core daily devotional practices. And then what is intended by that is purification. Change the dark in the margin, the heart becomes cleansed. So as the heart becomes cleansed, those desires that are more out of line with spiritual desire, some of those will become cleansed quickly. And then there's some other desires that don't seem to go away quickly. So then, under guidance, reading Bhagavad Gita to understand how to direct your life, but also placing yourself under the guidance of a qualified person, see how those desires that are remaining, because now I've been doing some regular spiritual practices, how I can direct those desires towards satisfying Krishna. If they're ones that are just like that has nothing to do with satisfying Krishna, something illegal or something religious or something bad, I don't act on those. I just let those go. But those other desires, is there some way to connect this desire with Krishna's service? Bhakti Siddhanta used the phrase dovetail. Dovetail means you join this with that, and you do that. Supposing, for example, I like music. I have this desire, I like music. So how to connect that desire to pleasing Krishna? I desire to have a family. How do I connect that desire to serving Krishna? And then so learn under guidance and according to the direction of scripture how to take that desire and connect it. The Sanskrit term is gona dharma. And so there's desires that fall according to our teachers, our acharyas. Those that fall in terms of body and mind. Those that fall in terms of social desires. And then there's those that fall in terms of the cultivation of the intellect in different ways. Whatever that might be. Then it gives, there's different examples of that. So, the solution, those are desires. The solution is put at the center core spiritual practice. Hearing and chanting, remembering the nine direct devotional processes of bhakti, and then carry that core spiritualization of consciousness into those three different arenas, and as appropriate, engage in those activities with the purpose of the higher goal. Let me always remember Krishna while I'm playing music, or while I'm engaged in family activity, or while I'm, whatever it is, acting on those desires. In the language of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, perform your prescribed duty and always think of me. So it's and always think of Krishna, that's the spiritual power. And then you align the desire with what is pleasing to Krishna. That's the prescribed duty.
And a nice example is
just thinking. Adidev, who's one of our senior devotees here, his career was as a professional photographer. Maybe you've seen him sometimes standing up here. He has his very expensive camera equipment chained to his rail. And he loves taking pictures. He loves taking pictures. So he takes pictures. He learned how to take pictures. Developed a whole career around taking pictures. And now he is films and takes still photos of all kinds of things. You can imagine he's got a whole room filled with archives of stored images. You ask him for something and he'll be able to produce it. So that's the liking that he has, the desire that he has, that he's connecting in with Krishna's service. And before, he couldn't do as much of just pictures of the deities and functions and gatherings and speakers and things. So he was, with newspapers and media people, and so he was a photographer who could contract with those different people, and he maintained his family out there. But he trained his family in such a way, they're outstanding Krishna conscious people. Fantastic success story. Desire and then for Krishna service. And then desire is still there, now it's just for Krishna conscious desire. He doesn't have to maintain his family anymore. They're grown up and married and so on.
To do that, will I be able to come to
that? But I do desire to come to that stage. So?
Yes.
So what's the question?
By desiring, will I be able to come to that stage?
By desiring, will I be able? Well, it depends on if you follow Rupa Goswami or not. If you follow Rupa Goswami, the answer is yes.
With Krishna, it is
the
master and
the that's the correct goal. Now I couldn't hear your voice when it's soft.
The goal of life is to get to come.
Yeah, I have the goal of life. And therefore?
The relationship with Krishna is just the master and servant. That's it. Because in
well, not just master and servant, it could be different masters. But yes, starting with that, he's my lord and master. And then as that matures, it can be in different vessels.
So when we are actually starting to play the devotion service, because in Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada writes, I don't remember where, he says, pure devotional service ultimately accumulates in love of God.
Yeah.
So that love of
God. What you said is correct in just embellishment. The embellishment is in terms of rasa. Actually, just say yes and not embellish it. But there's tremendous teachings, as Srimad Bhagavatam says, that the initial position of understanding my true identity is I'm an eternal part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, meant for his service. That's part one. Then the maturity of that is there are different rasas in that relationship of loving service of Krishna. And in course of time, in course of spiritual maturity, I may understand what that eternal rasa is. It may be servitude, it may be friendship, it may be parental affection, it may be conjugal affection. But that's just the embellishment. I just added the embellishment. But what you said is wrong.
So we just think of serving him, that's unmotivated service. Because when I think about so many things, it just gets clouded. I just want to have a single focused goal.
I don't understand why you're with the trouble. You're struggling with something. It's not clear what you're struggling with. Because our position, yes, our position, you're asking it again and again. It's the same answer again and again. Which is, we have an eternal position of service to the Supreme. As the hand serves the whole body, the parcel of the hand can serve to the Supreme. And we've forgotten that relationship of loving service, and we're entering by that understanding of consciousness of our loving relationship with the Supreme, and then we'll feel whole, we'll feel complete. Right now we're feeling, you know, I want to have that connection with the Supreme. I'm feeling disconnected. I want to again feel connected. And the medium is service. So you can do that with the intent, including, you know, taking care of your daughter, whatever, or the other so many things that life is made up of. It's meant for connecting with the Supreme. So if that's your question, the answer is yes. And by aspiring in that way, by following the guidelines or the standards and, you know, the teaching given by, I said Rupa Goswami, which means it's just this is Lord Chaitanya's teachings, or the Bhagavatam's teachings, then we can get there. In this lifetime. Become Krishna conscious in this lifetime, not just wait till the next life and then cross your fingers and hope for the best. In this lifetime. Is it possible? Yes, it's meant for you to do that. And that should be the aspiration. And we're not there yet, so we probably aspire and follow according to the guidance of our acharyas. Is that addressing your question or not?
I think it wasn't like really specific as to, I was not very clear.
Specific to what?
I was not clear with the question. In another place, Prabhupada says that you need to desire for the relationship. So that's where my confusion is. Do you desire for the relationship with Krishna, or you just desire for unmotivated service to Krishna?
That's the same thing.
Same thing?
Yeah. What's the relationship? Service. Service without motivation. That's what love is. Business is where I've got some motivation. So it's not just unmotivated service. That's the relationship. Who am I? I'm servant of Krishna. That's what I am.